Woodrow Kroll here. When you train one pastor in Ecuador, some donor friends are standing by to train a second pastor.
Call 833-443-5467 or go online at trainapastor.com.
Every gift counts, and now every gift is doubled. Trainapastor.com.
Hey, this is Jim Graham from the Masculine Journey Podcast, where we explore relationship instead of religion every week. Your chosen Truth Network podcast is starting in just a few seconds. Enjoy it, share it, but most of all, thank you for listening and for choosing the Truth Podcast Network.
This is the Truth Network. Kingdom Pursuits, where you hear from ordinary people instilled with an extraordinary passion. Together, we explore the stories of men and women who take what they love and let God turn their passion into kingdom pursuits. Now, live from the Truth Booth, your host, Robbie Dillmore.
We really have a treat for you today on Kingdom Pursuits. I got to tell you, I've never done a show quite like this, but how fun. You may know that I was at Man Camp with Nikita Koloff for the last week, actually as a participant. So 5 days of chasing after the heart of God out in the woods with professional wrestlers. You know, what exactly? No, I got to tell you that what we experienced was, you know, God showed up in unbelievably beautiful ways. So I have with me today on the show four of my fellow campers, and I can tell you every one of them are happy campers. as they got a chance to hear and see and taste God in so many ways. And so we're going to just start from the top here. The first guest I have with me is Richard Bell, who is actually, you know, like his bunk was right next to my bunk. He lives in North Carolina, unlike some of our guys. But welcome, Richard.
Hey, Robbie, how are you?
I am excited to hear your voice. And
I'm excited now, to hear yours.
You've never heard my show or been on my show, but the jokes are coming, and when they do, you got to laugh. That's part of the deal, okay?
Oh, you know I love to laugh.
All right. Next up, we have Greg Goodman. And Greg, they assign you a battle buddy, okay? Now,
oh, yeah.
Greg was actually my battle buddy. How cool is that? And so, you know, we can find out about battle buddyism today. That's going to be exciting. And Greg, same instructions. When the jokes come, your responsibility is to laugh even though they're not funny, okay?
Hey, the laugh, the applause lights are already ready.
Okay.
Check them out. We're good.
Third up is we have actually a pastor. His name is Bradley Joseph. And I think you're West Virginia, right, Bradley?
Yeah, that's correct.
And Bradley, I mean, I just thought it would be really cool for people to hear your point of view, because you're kind of like me. You're in ministry all the time, and you go in here not as the lead pastor, right? You're in there just as one of the guys sitting there in the circle, and how God showed up for you this week, right?
That's correct. Yeah, I came with no expectations. Just had really sought after God in prayer, saying, Lord, I don't want to tell you what I want you to do or what expectations I have. I just came out there with an open mind and an open heart, and he blew every expectation I ever had out of the water.
Oh, me too. So, and lastly, but certainly not least, we have Luke Yates. And Luke, I mean, you might have heard use the force, Luke. I mean, you know, he had a few competitions, and I'm going to tell you, if you're ever on a competition in a man camp, you want Luke on your side, because he's going to help you win. But a mountain man in his own right up there in Virginia today. Welcome, Luke.
Hello, guys.
I'm so.
I want to start off with saying that I just truly miss all those men.
Wasn't it fun? Yeah, like we should be in a circle right now. And I have to tell you the thing Nikita did, which, by the way, Nikita's show comes on today at 12:30, and so you get to hear that. But he did this thing at the very end that I thought was so cool. He had us all stand in a circle, and he goes, well, we got to take one last picture. And he had us all look up to heaven. Now, there was no camera involved, but he had us all look up into heaven. He goes, now, we'll probably all never be back together this side of heaven. He goes, but now God's going to take a snapshot that we can all review. And as we were looking up, man, was that not cool, guys?
That was awesome.
It
was an experience like no other, you know. And I got a cataract in my left eye, and I had to close my eyes when I looked up, but it was just amazing, man.
It really
it's like no other in my entire life.
It really was. And Bradley, what did you think about that snapshot there at the end?
I didn't know what the punchline was. I said, "Well, hey, where's the camera? Who's going to come out?" And sure enough, when he made mention that, you know, God remembers everything in his foreknowledge, I'm like, my goodness, this is better than any Kodak moment could ever produce.
You were like me, like, you couldn't possibly get all these people in this shot, not the way that we were standing. And I thought, what's up with that? And then all of a sudden, here it came. So I hate to do this to you guys, but it's part of Kingdom Pursuits. So I have to tell all this stuff because we want the listeners to have a chance to call in and win today. So, you know, we were at Man Camp. So speaking of men, Beth Ann.
Man,
yeah. You know, what do you call men who make women belong in the kitchen jokes? What do you call men
who make
women belong in the kitchen jokes?
I don't know. What do you
got an idea on that one, Luke?
What do I call men who make women
work in the kitchen jokes?
Work in the kitchen jokes.
You call them single.
Yeah,
or you don't call them at all, Robbie.
Yeah, there you go. You may have heard this one, but it just
actually,
yeah. This one never gets old. I've told it for years, but it just makes me laugh every time, so I have to use it again. So, what rock group has four men that don't sing, Beth Ann?
The Rolling Stones. No, that's not right. Who? What?
Mount Rushmore!
There you
go.
That's good.
Yay!
That's good.
And this one kind of tickled me. What do you call a group of Spanish yes men?
C-sissies.
C-section?
C-section.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
C-section.
A group of Spanish yes men. A C-section.
Oh,
yeah,
a
there
C-section.
You go. See you.
Robbie,
okay.
All those struggling comedians out there. You're trying to be one.
Oh, I've enjoyed this for years. You have no idea. So, last on my list before we get to the actual riddle, so you can call and win today, is why do women have cleaner minds than men? Have you ever thought about that?
No.
Why do women have cleaner minds than men? Because they change theirs more often. Come on now, Beth Ann. It's a little funny.
They're all a little funny. From the little mind of Robbie Dillmore.
All right. Yeah, from the little mind of Robbie Dillmore. So you knew the riddle that would actually come up after the joke. So here we go. What man in the Bible was a good omen?
What man in the Bible?
That's actually a tough one, I think. 866-348-7884. If you want to call in and win, what man in the Bible was a good omen? And Beth Ann, if they can call in and guess that, tell them what they'll win.
Well, Robbie, good news. No answer is wrong, no matter what you say. We have so much great stuff in the Truth Prize Closet. We're going to reach in and grab something just for you.
866-348-7884, 866-34-TRUTH. If you can tell us which man in the Bible was a good old man. I'm just throwing a little hint out there when I say old man. So, wonderful, wonderful. Well, let me go back to Richard, and since I hadn't gotten him a chance to say much yet this morning. So, Richard, as you review your time in the bunk over there next to me. how did God show up for you over the week, and that you were like, man, God, now I know why you brought me?
Well, when I came home last night, or yesterday evening, well, when my wife picked me up, I gave her the biggest hug I've ever given her in the world. I mean, it's like it came into my heart more to love my wife more.
Wow.
I mean, it was just an awesome connection between my wife and I when I
seen her from being away from her a week. God had placed that in my heart. I don't know, but I tasted sweetness up there this week.
Yeah, there was a whole lot about loving your wives in the curriculum that Nikita took us through. So I'm not terribly shocked. I had that same kind of feeling as I got the chance to hug my wife. So again, we got Richard Bell, Greg Goodman, Bradley Joseph, Pastor Bradley Joseph, and Luke Yates up in the mountains. So we got so many people, and we have Glenn in High Points calling in with an answer to the riddle. So you got so much more. Kingdom Pursuits coming up. I think you're going to love this. More from Chasing After the Heart of God at Man Camp.
You're listening to the Truth Network and TruthNetwork.com.
Well, welcome back to Kingdom Pursuits, where we hear how God takes your passion and uses it to build the kingdom. And today, how fun for me, anyway. I hope it's fun for you too, because we have all these men that chased after the heart of God for 5 days out in Georgia in the wilderness in so many different ways, as Nikita Koloff and Lex Luger led us in a man camp and opportunities to really listen and hear from God. So first up, we got actually Glenn is in High Point. He's got an answer to the omen idea. So Glenn, you're on Kingdom Pursuits. Good morning.
Good morning.
So who do you think my man in the Bible, the omen, might be?
I'm pretty sure it was Methuselah.
Methuselah. Oh, wow. That was an old guy, man. Yeah, well, tell me your thinking behind him being an omen.
Well, I'm pretty sure at the time that God, I think God spoke to, yeah, my memory's fading here, but God said it will come when he is born, I'm pretty sure.
Well,
he was an omen.
He was an omen. Oh, but I see what you're saying. He was an omen. Wow. That's a great answer, Glenn. And we're going to definitely send you out a prize. That wasn't who I was thinking about, but I'll tell you. But it's still a great answer. And as Beth Ann says, you know, we got all nuts but winners.
That's right.
Here's an omen. I'm going to have to go study that. You're going to send me to my Bible, Glenn. Thank you.
I know.
All right. I appreciate it. God bless. Have a great day. All right. Well, you still got a chance to win, too. So you can call us at 866-348-7884, 866-34-TRUTH. Well, next up, I want to talk to Luke Yates. And Luke, you're in Virginia, right?
I am.
And Southwest Virginia. So we got listeners in Richmond, Virginia today that they're listening to us live. But you're a little closer to the mountains, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. A little place called Wise County, Virginia, but we ain't but hours from Richmond, you know. So we're closer to Georgia than we are to Richmond.
Really? Wow, that's a big state. So Luke, for you, who, you know, clearly is a man that spends a lot of time outside, deer hunting, fishing, man, Luke has some of the biggest bass pictures I've ever seen in my life. I mean, he's caught fish that were as big as his grandkids. But I'm interesting for you. How did you see God show up out there in the woods, a place that you're so familiar with?
Oh, man. It was just remarkable, man. I didn't see anything at first, you know. I was too busy watching the squirrels and looking for other wildlife. And then I was like, okay, that's not why I'm here, you know. I said, I'm just going to shut my mind down and just think. And I just started seeing the trees and how they were shaped and the different size of trees and how some of them were bent towards the sun and some of them was growing straight up and beautiful. And I just compared that to humanity, you know, different ages in humanity and what stages of life people's in. And it was just, the comparison is so, so unreal.
Yeah, you wrote I got a chance to read what Luke wrote about these trees. And so for those of you just listening to Christian Car Guy Show, it's no coincidence, I don't think, that Ann Alda just written a poem about trees. And then when Luke came in, he showed, they really had 4 pages on what he'd written about how the older trees need to let the younger trees get some light or otherwise they can never come up, you know, and how they, he could see the trees, how they were bent and the different ones that were up tall and straight. And, you know, for those of us who know Hebrew, as you know, I know Beth Ann knows that the Zadik, that letter represents a tree because it's righteousness. And so trees are always at a right angle and they're always going for the sun. And as I was reading what Luke had written, I was like, oh my goodness. And Jesus, of course, we know died on the tree that Ann was talking about in her poem. But there's just wood and all sorts of things. But when you're looking at it from a standpoint of sunlight, Luke, you saw something really beautiful.
Truly, I did. I just, you know, and that's the first time I ever had a comparison in the woods. And as much time as I spend in the woods, I used to say I'm better off to be in the woods thinking about God than to be in church thinking about the woods. And that just wasn't true. That wasn't the right outlook, you know, and that changed a year and a half for me. And I realized, you know, while I was sitting in that homemade blind, spending our fast day in that blind, that I'd never really shut my mind down and just listened to God in the woods. Never, till that day.
Yeah, I got a feeling this is going to change a lot. I know it will for me, too. I know it will for me, too, Luke. Thank you. Wow, that's just powerful stuff. So, Pastor Bradley Joseph's with us, And so how about you, Pastor, as you were out there in the woods, was that a new experience for you, something that you'd done a lot before?
Yeah, and kind of like Luke had mentioned, for me, you know, you're around people all the time as a pastor. So the whole point of the week was to get away. Now, Nikita had not mentioned that we would spend all day in the woods in solitary, pretty much in solitude. But once again, that's the Lord's doing. And I had just prayed on the way out of West Virginia on the way to Georgia. I drove down the whole way, about a 7.5-hour drive for me. And I said, God, I just want to remove all the static. Because, you know, when you're dealing with religion and tradition, and sometimes you got to filter all of it out. So I said, God, I want you to show up. I know what people say about you, and I know what I've been brought up to believe. But if you could just introduce yourself, you know, one more time, and out there in the woods, he absolutely did that.
Yeah, there were some spectacular videos by a pastor by the name of David Bradley where he talked about tasting, that experiencing, you know, a steak when you put it in your mouth. You know, you can read about it in a magazine all you want. But when you taste it, right? And so did you get a taste or two, Bradley?
Well, here's the funny part is I've been in ministry. I've been in pastoral ministry for a little over a decade now. And I came out of Georgia yesterday and came back home. And I told my wife, I said, in 5 days, I changed my complete theology. And I'm just, you know, I was just saying in a joke, she kind of looked at me like, what, really? And I'm like, no, but I'm just, you know, I grew closer to him. And it's such a shame. It takes something so radical, like leaving the world for 5 days, going to a 102-acre farm and pretty much a camp, getting away from the world and technology to find that. But I think it's what really every man, and I'll say even every woman, needs to do sometime in their life, just to disconnect with the world and connect with the Lord.
Yeah, what an honor it was to be able to come to that and experience these things. So we haven't got to my battle buddy yet, Greg Goodman. So Greg, tell us, you know, where did you go? Oh, God, there you are. Well, in your experience this weekend.
Well, everybody talked about the nature and the which it truly was. And I'm the type of guy that slow room service is roughing it, okay? So this definitely will change for me. I've been in the business world for 30 years, you know, almost 6 years old, and I was taught problem. You're the man. You're the business guy. You're the father. You're the husband. You're the one that's the problem. And the thing that I learned this week, God is the one to fix the problem. It's not me. The successes that I may have had in the business world was not me, but God.
I hate your phone is kind of cutting in and out, Greg, but for those who didn't hear, because I already kind of knew what Greg was going to say, is that what he was saying is, I think it's a common malady about all men that we want to fix everything. And I don't know if you've ever seen it. If you want a real laugh today, and this is on Robbie, just go to YouTube and do a search for It's All About the Nail, okay? If you've not seen it, believe me, you will laugh for hours because it's this girl's got this great big nail in her head. Have you ever seen it, Greg?
No.
You gotta go to YouTube. See, it's all about the nail, and you know her husband is trying to talk to her about this nail in her head, and he keeps trying to reach up and grab the nail. You know, and she's like, "Well, I'm pricking all my sweaters," and she's going through all this, and she keeps pointing to him, "Don't try to fix it." But what we found out really in so many different ways this weekend is, wow, we go to these other wells to try to fix things rather than going to God, right?
Exactly. Exactly. And we, I guess we're programmed, you know, sometimes at a young age that we're the man, we're the fixer thing. You know, and it's not us. It's not our, God is the one to do that.
Yeah, that's so awesome. And so, you know, I'm sure that a lot of us were sitting there as we were reading through material that they gave us and praying and studying that all of a sudden we came to the conclusion, oh my goodness, listening was just a common theme throughout the weekend, both listening to God, listening to our wives, listening to our kids. We got so much more with Richard, Greg, Bradley, and Luke coming up, so stay tuned. But we still have the riddle that could be riddled. You know, if you've got an idea on who was the Bible was an O-man or omen, what man in the Bible was an omen, 866-348-7884. So much more coming up. Stay tuned.
You're listening to the Truth Network and TruthNetwork.com.
Oh, welcome back to Kingdom Pursuits, where we hear how God takes your passion and uses it to build the kingdom. Today, we have men that have chased after the heart of God for a week. How wonderful is that? And they are the guests today on Kingdom Pursuits, Richard Bell, Greg Goodman, Bradley, Pastor Bradley Joseph, and Luke Yates. But before we get to them, we got Amy Cabo. Her show's coming up at 1 o'clock today, and we've got lots of personality, from what I understand, is going to be on it. Welcome, Amy.
Yes.
What you got today?
Well, today we have Merrick Rosenberg, who wrote on personality, Chameleon, which is very popular. And, you know, he goes into subjects such as, is your selfish personality driving you crazy? And how can you get yourself to listen to hear you dealing with difficult personalities at work? And how personalities can drive you to success? How leaders use personality to drive you.
Wow, that sounds like it's going to be awesome. It's going to be live, so you can call in with your personality or personality situation at 866-348-7884. It's coming on today at 1 o'clock, so you don't want to miss that. Thank you, Amy. I appreciate you calling in.
Thank you, Robbie.
All
have
right.
A beautiful day.
You too. God bless.
Bye.
Wonderful, wonderful show. Wonderful people. Always like having them on. So I know you're probably thinking, Robbie, what happened for you? Well, I'll just tell you one short story here that you know, this was Robbie's experience. So like they said, like I think Pastor Bradley said, we had a day that was actually a fast. So that means, you know, no food, no drink other than water. They let us have some Gatorade. And, you know, so you you get kind of hungry, as you might imagine. But, it, you know, it really wasn't that bad, and it was much easier than I thought. But the next morning, you know, I woke up with this expectation that we were going to break this fast, right? And I woke up with this expectation of, and you may know I get up pretty early, and so it's dark and it's cold, and I'm outside, and I think, man, you know what would taste really good right now is a cup of coffee. Now, in order to get to the coffee, you had to go up quite this hill, which was quite a hike to get to the coffee. So nonetheless, I thought it's well worth making the hike to go get the coffee because I was, you know, I'd been all this time. So I hike, you know, go up to the place where I'd gotten coffee the morning before. And as I open up the door, there's this sign across the coffee. It says, you can't have any coffee until the fast is broken. Now, I'm feeling my need was not going to be met here. I turned around to the guys that were sitting there with the coffee, and I was like, how does the fast get broken? Well, you got to wait till Nikita breaks the fast. And if you know me well, you know that when my needs are not met immediately, sometimes I get very frustrated. And so I did not, this was not pretty.
Someone needs a Snickers.
I hadn't eaten for, and so this was, it would have made a great Snickers commercial back then, because I turned around with my finger pointed at these guys and I was like, well, before you could tell a guy before he walks all the way up that blankety blank hill, you know, this was not pretty, okay? Oh, yes, I did. And then I walked out, slammed the door, went and got my car, which was right around the corner, and took the key out. And I said, well, I can go get my own coffee. I don't need, you know. And then all of a sudden, you know what happened? The Holy Spirit was like, Robbie, you're a bonehead.
Aww.
You know, those poor guys are just doing what they're supposed to do. So I go back in sheepishly, as you might imagine, say, I am so sorry, guys. You've been so helpful to us all weekend and served us in so many ways. I can't believe I did that, but can you forgive me? I had an unmet expectation, and they were very gracious, and they forgave me. And so I walked back out. Now, about 7:45, we all get together, and Nikita says, now, as far as some people will be eating spiritual food this morning, and some people will be eating physical food. And so and what I'm going to do is I'm going to have everybody pray, right, and decide. And you let God tell you if you can break the fast. And so we're all going to bow our heads for a minute, and then you can pray and decide whether or not we're going to break the fast. And so as I bow my head, true story, I'm like thinking, for sure I'm going to get my coffee. Instead, what I hear, and I hear it very clearly, is, Robbie, let's go have some fun. And it was said with an anticipation of some amazing fun. And I couldn't believe it, but I walked back out into the woods.
No coffee.
Bible in hand, no coffee.
Robbie, that's sweet.
And what he showed me, it may seem simple to some, but for me, it was profound in that what he showed me was Yahweh. And Yahweh, meaning that I am, Robbie, I'm in the coffee, yes, but I'm also out here in that owl that you hear hooting. I'm in that grass. I'm in the trees. And he was showing me all the different, and I was just amazed as I sat there and just had this sense of God is the biggest reality there is, and everything else is just secondary. And I just had this amazing time. But, you know, a little humor at the end of the story. So, you know, we did it again. You could break the fast if you wanted for lunch, or you could go in for lunch. And I felt like he did let me break the fast to go back in for lunch. So as I'm standing in the lunch line, there's this older pastor by the name of Pastor Gary. And he comes up to me with this cup of coffee. Like, Robbie, would you like some coffee? And the answer was yes, right? So, Richard, getting back to you, you know, you can't imagine me pointing my finger and being mad at anybody, can you? Are you still with me, Richard?
Yes.
Okay. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine me being mad at somebody?
I cannot imagine you being mad at nobody.
Well,
I really cannot. I cannot see it.
Yeah, well, if you get to meet Naomi really well, and Beth Ann knows.
I got pictures. Richard.
Yeah. Yeah, so.
Oh, but we all do it, Robbie.
Yes.
I'm sure you have pictures of me.
But anyway, so what else, Richard, while you were along the way that just kind of surprised you? Like, man, I wasn't expecting this.
I wasn't expecting a lot of it. I mean, just, I don't know, me and you had a conversation the last morning we was there, and I learned a lot from that conversation that I really didn't know. I was doubting myself at that point in time, and you brought me through that, and you actually taught me that I actually knew more than I knew.
Yeah,
you know that conversation we had?
Oh, it was a divine moment. I felt like,
I mean, actually, I was doubting myself, and we were just sitting there talking for about 30 minutes, and you told me that you started questioning me about things, and I was answering questions I didn't think I could answer, and I was right. I mean, I know more, and I have more faith than I thought I had, and I think this trip really helped me discover my faith a whole lot better.
What a wonderful, and finding it in our friends, which is just a big part of what, you know, was there, was the fellowship. And I'm going to go back to Luke and say, Luke, didn't you get that sense that it was in the fellowship that we combined to get to know God better?
Can you repeat that question? It cut out.
That's all right. I clicked the phone about the time that I asked the question. I said, "What? It was in the fellowship, like it was the 23 or 4 guys combined was a lot stronger if I'd just gone out in the woods by myself for, you know, that period of time."
Yes, it was kind of like, I guess, you know, kind of like if God was holding a flashlight in the heavens and just shined it down, and the beam went from narrow to wide over all of us up there. And you just knew that everybody was experiencing something at the,
oh, wow.
At even the same time that you knew, it just felt like, oh man, I'm just,
I hate, we got to go to a break. Luke, that was so good. The spotlight rather than what do they call it? Floodlight rather than the spotlight. So we've got so much more coming up. Stay tuned.
You're listening to the Truth Network and truthnetwork.com.
Welcome back to Kingdom Pursuits, where we hear how God takes your passion and uses it to build the kingdom. And how fun could it be to passionately go after the heart of God for 5 days out there in the Georgia wilderness with Nikita, and you know, we weren't all the time out in the woods. There was a lot of studying and worshiping going on, a whole lot of stuff. But we got Camille, who's in Winston-Salem. She thinks she knows who the man was that was the O-man. So, Camille, you're on Kingdom Pursuits. Good morning.
Hi. Okay, so I'm just taking a guess. But I think the old man is Obadiah.
Yeah, exactly. Well, that was what I thought, you know. He was an omen in so many different ways, don't you think?
Well, I think there were multiple people named Obadiah, but the one in particular who was a minor prophet, he prophesied, I think, to the Edomites' judgment that God was going to bring against them for their hostility towards Israel.
Wow, I love that, Camille. You're quite a, you know, you clearly have an understanding of Obadiah.
Yeah, I hope so. So at any rate, I'm glad I was able to catch you, because I was like, everyone is going to be calling in about this one.
Oh, you got it, and so you won. And I'm so grateful for you calling in. And I was thinking about, I love the way that it kind of worked. Like, you know, Jesus in his own way was an omen, right? I mean, he was definitely prophesied that he was going to come, and then, you know, clearly all this happened. And so, you know, Obadiah certainly was the O, the one I was thinking about, though. God bless you. Thank you, Kabil. I appreciate you calling in.
Yes, thank you for taking my call.
It was my pleasure. Bye-bye. All right, so let's see. We're going to go back to Pastor Bradley. And I'm going to put Luke on at the same time, because when we left our hero Luke, he was talking about God shining the floodlight as a result of having all of us there. So I didn't want you to not finish your thought, Luke. So go ahead and finish, and then I wanted to get Pastor Bradley's take on that.
I'll finish it up real quick. What I was saying was when I got there, it was about me. And, you know, not saying anything bad, but I was just like, you know, God, I'm here for me. I mean, I'm here because I want you to bless me and make me a better person and further my walk in Christ. And like I said, when I realized being in the woods, quiet, not talking ever, I felt myself often realizing that I was thinking more about all the brothers there than I was thinking, spending time thinking on myself. I was thinking like, man, you know, this is powerful. Like, I wonder what each of them is experiencing right now. And you know, I'd find myself praying for each of them. Like, God, you know, just bless them and pour out your blessings on them, Father God. When we get back, give them a magnificent experience so they can just tell us about it and take it home with them. And I realized that's like the spotlight wasn't just down on me or just down on you. It was as if he was holding a giant floodlight above us, and it was like the beam was coming outward as it got closer to us, and it just covered us all equally. And we could all get from that what we wanted to get from that, and as much as we wanted to get from that. And I just felt myself, you know, just drawing so close to each guy that I felt myself praying. When I first got there, I was praying for my family, and I was praying for me and my needs, but I realized after day one, I truly was praying for everybody else there.
Yeah, we could feel it too, Luke. I mean, it was just clear. How fun was that? Bradley?
I don't mean to go off topic, but I remember when you were... Say it again?
No, go ahead.
Okay, I've got a little bit of static feedback. I don't know what it is. But anyways, I was just... not to get back off point, you were talking about whenever he came out in the morning and said, breaking the fast, you know, and allowing us to pray about it. If it's one thing that I was really convicted about all week was, you know, he had made two statements at the beginning of the camp. He said, number one, trust the process, and number two, life is about choices. Now, for that 5 days that we're out there in that camp, you know, he could have directed and forced us to do everything from when it came to fasting or the additional day in fasting, or when it came to, you know, we had opportunities to share our burdens one with each other, you know, but he wouldn't force any of it. He said, you let the Lord decide. Because what really convicted me is, you know, after the fifth day and what we come back home, you know, Nikita and Lex and the rest of the people aren't going to be there. And we're left to either be led by the Holy Spirit or to go back to being led by our own mind, our own devices. And, you know, I'm just so thankful that he kind of incorporated that throughout the week. You know, that was really my thing. I was like, oh, Nikita will break the fast and we'll go back to eat. And then he said, well, I'm going to let you allow the Lord to tell you if it's time to break the fast. And the Lord said, don't you dare eat, Brad. You know, he just said, you know, I've got something more for you. And the same when it came to sharing. He didn't force anyone, but it was just the leading of the Holy Spirit to where you just felt freedom and liberty to say, you know what, we want you to be in control. And you had talked about with the coffee, the unmet expectation. And I'll tell you, when the Lord really showed up, I mean, it was, he absolutely met every expectation that I could have ever imagined for the week.
Well, I can't believe the show went by so fast. Richard, Greg, Bradley, Luke, I'm going to miss you guys. But hopefully we'll get together soon. The podcast will be up tomorrow, guys. I'll send you the link for that. I am so grateful to each and every one of you for being on with me today. Thank you guys so much.
Thank you.
I appreciate you guys staying, because it's hard to be on hold for that whole thing, but you guys were so awesome, and you really shared some beautiful stuff for our listeners. Now stay tuned. You got so much truth coming at you on the Truth Network. You got encouraging prayer powered by Masculine Journey, then Nikita at 12:30. Stay tuned. Got a lot of truth coming at you.
This is the Truth Network.